Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you to this radio program that is brought to you and paid for by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. Last week, we started into a new study, one that's going to take quite a while to get through, over a year, no doubt. But that new study will focus on the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, the millennial earthly kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. So we stopped in the middle of the message last week. We're going to pick it up here in a moment, right in the middle of that message again, and continue that out. Before we do, let us pray together. Father, as we gather around the radio today, Lord, we ask again that the Spirit of God would take the message and use it to educate us, to help us to better understand your word, to know better what you're doing in this world and what you've been working toward as we look at that future kingdom that is yet to come on this earth. So bless our study today, and Lord, we'll thank you for what will be accomplished ahead of time. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It got postponed. But at the end of this, Jesus said, "You shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." When they turn to their Messiah, when they accept him as their Messiah, then the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, that'll happen at the end of the tribulation period. So let me get you to a wrap up here. Now watch this. So let me wrap up these differences. There are verses that tell us the kingdom exists now, and there are verses that tell us there's a kingdom that is yet future. There are verses that tell us in this present kingdom God is ruling directly, and there are verses that tell us that God will rule in the kingdom through his Son. There are verses that tell us that this present kingdom has no conditions, and there are verses that tell us the kingdom will not come until Israel repents. From all of this, it is very clear that there is a universal kingdom at this present time, and there is an earthly kingdom that is yet future. That's what we need to understand. We can't get the two mixed up. You cannot do it. We got to keep them separated. And I don't think, once we go through this, I don't think you'll have any problem separating them whatsoever. Watch this. Therefore, as we study the Bible, we must be sure to rightly divide the word of truth so that we understand which kingdom we are looking at. Our focus will be on the theocratic kingdom in which Jesus Christ will rule and reign on earth. This is a kingdom that Satan has attacked, and this is a kingdom that God is going to restore. The entire focus of the Bible is to show us how God is working to restore the theocratic kingdom, as we shall see. Don't miss that statement. The entire focus of the Bible, as we go through, you're going to see in just a little bit, God established that kingdom in the beginning. He established it in the book of Genesis. That's why I read out of Genesis. We're going to see that in a moment. It was his desire to rule over a theocratic administrator. That would have been Adam and Eve. But it didn't go the way it should have. It did not. So here's what you have throughout all of history, in the direction that everything is going now. It is everything is moving with the idea that God is working to restore that theocratic kingdom. It will be established. It has to be established. It has to be. There is no other way. If it is not established, then God has failed. God has been defeated, and I'll talk a little bit about that tonight, a little bit more next week whenever we get into this. Okay, so let me go back here to a question that I raised. Why is this important to us? Why does it matter? Can't we just be along for the ride? Well, let me say this. Well, let me read this. Here's why it's so important, because you and I that know Jesus Christ will play a very important role in the kingdom, which we will see later. We will rule and reign with him in his kingdom. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But listen to me. Everything that is going on in your life right now is prepping you to serve in that kingdom. Did you know that? Everything that you go through, everything that I go through, is a part of the preparation for your position and my position in that kingdom. You probably never thought about that, but that's what's going on. It's what God's doing, because his whole goal is to restore that kingdom, to get that kingdom established on the earth. And so we are going to be subjects in that kingdom. So it only makes sense that everything that happens to me is a part of, if I could say it this way, the grooming process to get me ready to serve in that kingdom. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me because I don't know what my position is in that kingdom. You know, I'll say, like some people said, I'd be content to be in that kingdom and just sweep the dirt off the streets. That'd be okay with me. But there's far more. We're going to do far more than that. You know, that we are going to serve him. Watch, let me give you some verses. Revelation 5, 8 through 10. And when he had taken the book, I'm cutting you in here, okay? I got to explain something here. When he had taken a book, that was a scroll that John saw in heaven. If we were to go back and we were to look at chapter 5, there was a scroll, okay, that was brought out. And the scroll is the title deed to the earth. We talked about that whenever we studied Revelation. It is the title deed to the earth. There are on that scroll seven seals. Every time a seal is peeled open, there is a judgment that falls on the earth. So inside of that scroll, from what we can tell, as the title deed to the earth, because it was lost in the beginning to Satan, he's the god of this world now, is he not? This is his playground. That was not the original intent. It's lost to him. Now in the tribulation, it's going back to the original owner, the creator, Jesus Christ. That's why John weeps uncontrollably in Revelation chapter 5. Because there was not found anybody that was worthy to open the scroll. If nobody could open a scroll, you know what that meant? You want to know why John cried so hard in the midst of that when there was not one person that was able to open a scroll? Because if there's not one person that is qualified to open a scroll, then nothing changes. This world stays under the god of this world, Satan. That's where it stays. It's no wonder that John wept the way he wept. Because John understood this scroll's got to be opened. And inside the scroll would be described how the earth is going to be purged before it goes back. It's going to be purged through these judgments, through those seal judgments, and then through the trumpet judgments, and then through the vial judgments. It's recorded in that scroll, that title deed to the earth. Okay, so now you have a little bit of the background. Watch verse 8. When he had taken a book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. There's an interesting statement. Boy, I got to be careful because there's a rabbit hole here. And I already got 1 foot in it, so I'm going to jump in it for a moment. When in heaven, notice this is in Revelation, this is yet future, there are vials that are open full of odors, sweet-smelling odors. You see what they are? They are the prayers of the saints. That's us. Have you ever prayed for justice? Have you ever prayed, God, would you just, how about sending your son back right now? How about this all just ends and I can be taken with you in glory and nothing ever happened? And do you ever wonder, where did prayer go? Right there. It's not lost. It's not lost. You see that? The prayers of the saints, they are kept. You know, you ever pray, thy kingdom come? As Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6. Here it is. Okay, but let me go on. Okay, but watch this. And they sung a new song saying, okay, these are the 24 elders and the four beasts. And I give you this because I want you to see that it is believed that the 24 elders represent the church. They sung a new song saying, watch this. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, now watch this, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So no doubt, that's a reference to the church. The church was mentioned in chapter 3. You don't find the church anymore till you get to Revelation 19, but I believe you see it right here because it is represented by the 20 elders that fall down. And so therefore, they say, Lord Jesus, that's who they're talking to, the Lamb, that you have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. But watch what he says at the end. And watch what they say at the end. And it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, you wonder, what does all this mean to us? There you go. We're going to rule and reign with him. As I told you, everything that happens in your life and mine is a part of the preparation process for you and I in that kingdom. Everything, the heartache that you feel, the chipping away, the back to this morning's message, the mountains that get before you, and you don't know how you're going to get over the mountain, you don't know how you're going to get around the mountain, you don't know what you're going to do with the mountain, and so through God's grace, you get over the mountain, or you end up going around the mountain, or you set for days like Israel did at the edge of the Jordan River, and you stare at the mountain to realize your helplessness. It's all part of the process. You understand that? Because of where we're going and what we're going to do. Revelation 24, watch this one. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, and neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So let me leave this part and then we'll be done with this. Two different kingdoms. One's universal. It's happening right now. One is yet future. It is coming. In the one right now, God rules directly. In the one that is coming, he will rule through a theocratic administrator. He will rule through his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, but watch now. Watch point number two. This is why I wanted to eliminate a song. We'll go as far as we can. Watch 26 through 28 of Genesis 1. Watch this. This is the original design, God's original design. Let me show you. Whenever he created man, he gave him the authority over creation because this is the theocratic kingdom. This is how it was all established. And it was his desire to God to rule the earth through Adam and Eve. Watch this, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And let me get verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Back to your paper, because I'm going to put these verses up here. I'm going to put them up right now. But let me read your paper. It says, this is the beginning of the theocratic kingdom. It is in this kingdom that God's design is for him to rule through a theocratic administrator, and here it is Adam and Eve as a team. If we notice the verses closely, we can see the authority given to them at this point. So I put it on your paper and I put it on the screen because I want you to see this. I want to emphasize a few things. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, dominion over the fowl of the air, dominion over the cattle, dominion over all the earth, dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Jump down to verse 28. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and dominion over the fowl of the air and dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see that is the theocratic kingdom established right in the beginning because that was God's design, original design. That's what he wanted right there. Watch the next line. Here we see the original purpose of man, and that was to rule over God's creation as God would rule over them. Let us notice another place where we can see man's authority over creation. Here's a good one that you miss a lot of times. We use this, we kind of use this in Sunday school and whatever for Sunday school theology, and we read it and we don't understand what we're reading. Genesis 2, 19 and 20. Watch these verses. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Okay, so watch the top of page 7. There are many examples in the Bible where we can see that when someone names something or someone, it shows their authority over them. So listen, this is, we often look at this and say, well, this is kind of neat. Adam got to name the animals. But God put it there because he wants us to understand that Adam had the authority over everything. He's the theocratic administrator. He's the one that God has appointed to rule over the world for him. That's exactly what he said. Let me back you up for a moment. Okay, watch verse 26 again. Okay, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Okay, so this is the theocratic administrator. So when God says, when God gives him the responsibility of naming the animals, that shows his authority. There's a lot of passages that I could use, but I'll take you to Daniel for a moment. Watch this now. Daniel 1, 6, and 7, and verse 11. After Daniel and his friends have been carried into Babylon. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom, watch this, the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Why did he rename them? To show their authority over them. Now you belong to us. That's what he's saying. Watch this. He gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Then said Daniel to Melsar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over. See that? See the authority? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So to name something shows the authority over it. So when going back to Genesis again, back to Genesis 2, 19 and 20, when Adam named the animals, that's recorded there for you and I to show that he had authority over all of God's creation. This was God's original design. It would be a theocratic kingdom that would God would rule over the world through this theocratic administrator. There's a lot more to be said, and we're out of time. So let me bring you to the fall. Come to Genesis chapter 3. Watch this. I'm going to try and we'll come back to this next week. Because I'm dumping a truckload on you that I had time to study, and you get it all in be 50 minutes here, and or not quite 50, but anyhow. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Hold on a moment. Just listen to what I'm going to tell you. Why did he come as a serpent? He's an angel. Why? Because Adam's given authority over creation and over the animals, and Satan wants to overthrow the kingdom. You see that? Satan could have came any way he wanted to, but he chose to come is an animal, is a serpent. Because he wanted to disrupt the hierarchy that God had established. He doesn't want this kingdom. That's why, because he wants the world as his playground. That's why there'll be such intense battles with the nation of Israel in the tribulation period, because the coming kingdom is promised to the nation of Israel. And so, as I've told you that over and over again, that if he believes if he can destroy the nation of Israel, then there are two things promised: the return of Christ and the kingdom. If he can destroy Israel, then Jesus won't come back and there won't be a kingdom. And so it'll continue the way it is, that he will be the God of this world. Satan despises the idea of this kingdom. He wants to rule the world. So right from the beginning, he comes as a serpent. Watch your paper. Why did Satan come as a serpent? Is he not an angel? He came as a serpent because it was his desire to overthrow the order that God had established. Remember that man was to exercise authority over the animal world. He was attacking the office of theocratic administrator. It was Satan's desire to overthrow the kingdom. The moment that Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, the office of theocratic administrator disappeared from the earth. Now the earth is the playground of Satan. Now let me go back to something that I said. Why does there have to be an earthly kingdom? Because the first one was lost on the earth. So it has to be regained in the very same arena that it was lost. Otherwise, God has failed. You understand that? It's got to be taken back in the very same arena in which it was lost. Let me go to something else. Remember, I made another statement. We'll back up and we'll lap over these. I'm just giving you this to whet your appetite a little bit. Remember, I said that Adam and Eve would rule as theocratic administrators as a team. So they failed at that. And if you come to watch verse 11 of Genesis 3, watch this. You want to see how the hierarchy was disrupted? And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Remember whenever he was introduced to Eve? Boy, he was just blown over, you know. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And boy, he was just head over heels. Now she's just the woman that you gave me. I always said, I'll bet he never lived that one down. That came back up for hundreds of years. Guys, we can say stuff that'll come up for 40, 50 years, but he had to do it for hundreds of years. Okay? Then watch verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You see, it all got scrambled there. The man was to have authority over his wife. He submitted to his wife. She submitted to the serpent, who they were both to rule over. But let me go back to something, because I'm out of time, and I want to give you something to think about. So they were theocratic administrators as a team. So in the future, Jesus Christ is going to be, he is going to be the theocratic administrator. But what about Eve? What about that part? Ah, it's us. We're the bride. You see it? We are the bride of Christ. We will rule and reign with him. If I could say it this way, I don't want to take anything away from our Lord, as a team. You got it? Just like it was established in the beginning. That's what, if I could say this, you know, for me, the hardest part of a new study is the very first one. I am so thrilled to get through number one. Now things can flow. But I think that in my mind, it feels like I've communicated to you what we are going to look at, what we are going to study, this kingdom that is yet to come, and how throughout the scriptures, you're going to see it. You're going to see it in the covenants that God made with Israel. Those covenants all point to the kingdom. They all point to the kingdom. And then we're going to bring in the Mosaic covenant. There was a conditional covenant. Where's that play in? You'll see that as we go through. We'll see that. Then we'll get in. I can't wait till we get into Matthew and we study those parables that are there. But this gives you kind of an overview anyhow. You see how God's original design was that he would rule the earth through a theocratic administrator. It was lost. Now this world has become the playground of Satan. And so, but one day he is going to, the kingdom is going to be reestablished. It will be a theocratic administrator. And to replace Eve is you and I, the bride of Christ. And we will rule and reign with him. Conclusion. Watch it. Just a little brief one. We'll stop here for tonight, but there's much, much more here to see. As we close tonight, let us keep in mind that it is God's purpose to restore what was lost in Eden. And everything that is happening today is working toward that very purpose. You can rest assured at that. Okay? Someday God will again govern the earth through a theocratic administrator, and he will not fail as Adam did. We're going back to that time. We're going back to that whole kingdom that was established in the beginning. So I hope that sets your mind, and I hope you can be here and invite somebody to come back. We got a long way to go, but the studies are going to be very, very interesting that we will dive into, and I think that you will learn. I hope that you grasp onto something tonight that'll help you in this kingdom study, and so you pray for me too. There's a lot. And we're going to take a break whenever I got to fly out to Seattle here later on in the month of November, fly out there and back, but we won't miss very much of it, and we'll be right back at it. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for the study tonight. Lord, just to be able to see what your original design was, starting out by looking at the two different kingdoms and then looking at the original design and what you intended and how Satan came, not as an angel, but he came as a serpent because he wanted to overthrow that hierarchy, that rule of, that divine rule that you had established. And he did. And from that day forward, the office of theocratic administrator didn't exist anymore, but one day it will. One day it will. Lord, you will establish your kingdom on this earth, and you will rule through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we will rule and reign with him. And right now, let us keep in mind that everything that goes on in our lives is part of preparing us for what we will do in that kingdom. Lord, I thank you for that. I don't know what it'll be, but I know in my heart there is an excitement in anticipation of what the future holds. Lord, bless our study. Next week we'll come back and we'll dig in more. Lord, help us to understand more. Get our minds wrapped around this. We'll thank you for it all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the time we have for today. I hate to stop that study right there, but we will come back next week. That's, to me, this is a very exciting study. Hope you enjoy it also. We have a long way to go. Let me remind you, we have all the CDs for the entire study. So if you ever desire a CD from any of this, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet you around the radio, might you have a blessed week.